And I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus chapter 20 as we continue our series in the Ten Commandments that we're calling the Tender Commandments, because that's God's motivation for giving them to us, is his tender love for us. I'm sure that you've all heard of the Grimm fairy tales. I want to tell you a fairy tale. One of Grimm's tales is about a little old man who had a hard time taking care of himself. And he went to live with his son and daughter-in-law on their farm. As the old man became demented, his family became very frustrated at how messy he was when he ate. He would always get food all over himself. The son's wife hated how sloppy he was and how much of a nuisance he'd become, and over the months even turned the man's own son against him. During one particularly untidy meal, the son's wife took her father-in-law into the other room and made him sit by himself and eat in a corner. For weeks, the man wasn't sure what was happening, but every meal he spent in that corner eating by himself. One day he dropped his earthenware bowl and it broke, and the daughter-in-law was so furious, she said, "If you're going to eat like a pig, that's fine." And she went to the barn and snatched a pig's trough, and from then on served the old man his meals in a pig's trough. Some weeks later, they noticed their little boy carving something, and the father asked him what he was doing. And the son said proudly, "I'm carving for you and mommy a trough so that when you guys get old, I can feed you out of it." The son and daughter-in-law didn't say anything, but both of them began to cry. At their next meal, they went to the old man, took him by the hand, led him back to the dining table, and sat him in the most comfortable chair. And from then on, that is where he always ate. And they never, ever got angry with him again. That kind of summarizes the fifth commandment that we're going to be looking at this morning. If you look in your Bibles in Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, "Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land." You know, there's no time limit. There's no age limit on this. It just says, honor your father and mother. You may be 80 years old and your father or mother are 100. You are still to honor your father and your mother. So why did God give us this commandment? This is on your outline. You know, it'd be natural and easy to honor parents if parents were faultless. But God gave us this command because there are no perfect parents. The first four commandments teach us to love God. This is also on your outline. While the last six teach us to love our neighbor. The fifth commandment teaches, what the fifth commandment teaches is that the society that destroys the family destroys itself. And that if you eliminate honor in the family, you will eliminate honor, period. This is the only commandment that relates to authority, like the government, etc. Because God knows that if we honor our parents, all kinds of other things fall into place. All of us have weaknesses. All of us have faults. All of us have inconsistencies in our life. All of us make mistakes. Only God is the perfect parent. Even the best parents make mistakes and sin. The Bible says, "For all have sinned." And as a result, we're all warped. Maybe you remember the title of this book that was out there a number of years ago. It was called "I'm Okay, You're Okay." Show of hands, any of you remember that? Yeah, a bunch of you do. Well, I saw another book called "I'm Dysfunctional, You're Dysfunctional." I think that's maybe more accurate. Or a friend of mine wrote a book called "Everybody's Normal Till You Get to Know Them." There you go. Same thing. Kind of sums it up. So none of us had perfect parents. None of us are perfect parents. And if you're not a parent yet, remember that you will not be a perfect parent. Augustine emphasized the importance with a quote that you have on the worship folder or on your outline on the importance of the fifth commandment with a rhetorical question. He asked, if anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? And so this commandment really touches on any authority God puts into our life. So we need to think a little bit beyond just parents. Because the relationship between parent and child is the first and primary relationship that we have, in the beginning of all human society, that's where it starts, is in the family. Under ordinary circumstances, the first people a child knows are his parents. And so God intends the family to be our first hospital, our first school, our first government, our first church. If we do not respect authority at home, we will not respect authority anywhere. Charity really does begin at home. You know, this command is absolutely single-minded. It commands honor. Notice what it does not command. This text does not command affection. Now, that doesn't mean affection isn't appropriate, but it doesn't command it. It doesn't command that you confide in or even trust your parents. It does not command admiration. It doesn't command that you think your parents are the greatest. This passage does not command obedience. It does not command that you always do as your parents wish. But it always commands honor. Now, there are many parents who are unworthy of honor. They're abusive or manipulative or neglectful. If that's your case, maybe you're saying, okay, so what is God telling me to do through this commandment? Am I supposed to ignore the pain and put on a happy face and pretend everything is great? No, you're not. But God is saying, and this is on your outline, I want you to honor the position of parenthood. The goal is that a child should see right through mom and dad to God, to Jesus. That's the goal. And so why did God command this? It's number one on your outline. The word honor is the Hebrew word kabed, which means weighty or important. It means that you can't treat them flippantly. We should treat our parents significant and as important. Respect for authority begins at home. This is a critical lesson that every child has to learn. It determines how you're going to do in school, how you're going to do in your relationships, how you're going to do in your career. The child who grows up saying, nobody can teach me what to do, no one can ever tell me what to do, is going to have a hard time keeping a job, right? There are a lot of times when you're just going to have somebody tell you what you need to do, whether you want to do it or not. So God wants us to learn respect for authority. When you go to a judge and you say your honor, you are not making a value judgment about that person's character. They may or may not be a good person. When you say your honor, you're showing respect for the position. God puts parents in a position of authority over you at an early age, and we are to respect them, to honor them. So the next thing on your outline is this: how I relate to my parents will affect every other relationship. In an article in Inc. magazine, not a Christian article, not a Christian author that I know of, this is from 2017 on raising successful children, author Bill Murphy writes, be an authoritative parent. That's how you want to have successful children. Be an authoritative parent rather than a permissive one. Create a world in which your child grows up with a respect for authority, but doesn't feel strangled by it. And that's good wisdom. And so, number two, what does the honoring of parents look like? Well, it depends a little bit on what stage of life you're in. We're going to kind of go through some stages. In each stage, you apply this command a little bit differently. So, first of all, as a child on the outline, I honor my parents by obeying and respecting them. As a child, I honor my parents by obeying and respecting them. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents. This is the right thing to do because God has placed them in authority over you. So the Bible teaches that as long as you're under your parents' roof, you are to obey them. Since you are dependent upon your parents for food and shelter and clothing and insurance, they have a right to call the shots in your life. It's like one of my sons fell and broke his hip skateboarding. And literally 1 week, 6 days and 23 hours after he got out of his body cast, he fell on his skateboard again and broke his arm. And I told him, I said, your manager has retired you from skateboarding. And he said, who's my manager? And I said, you are looking at him. You know, you can move out of the house, buy your own insurance. Man, you can do it all you want. When you're out on your own, it's a different issue. But as long as parents are providing for children and children are dependent on them, children are to obey them. The example of Jesus, I think, here is a powerful one. Because even though he knew his real father, his heavenly father, he did not reject his earthly parents. And he went back to Nazareth with them when he was 12 years old and in Jerusalem and lived under their authority. And if the Son of God obeyed his earthly parents, how much more do we need to obey ours when we're living under their roofs? And we have Paul's teaching in Ephesians, children, it is your Christian duty to obey your parents. It says in the Good News Translation. You know, there's a difference between obeying and honoring. To obey means to do as one is told. To honor is to respect and to love. Children are to obey their parents while they're under their parents' authority and care. But the responsibility to honor parents is for life. So now as a teen, next thing on your outline, I honor my parents by accepting and appreciating them. As you get older, you start to see the fault in your parents. You start to see their hang-ups. You start to see the chinks in their armor. And it becomes important for you to accept them in spite of their weaknesses. Just like you want them to accept you in spite of yours. So why should I choose to accept my parents? Well, there's not a lot of choice about it for either of you. You're kind of stuck with each other, aren't you? That's why acceptance is vital. Acceptance does not mean pretending that they were perfect. Acceptance doesn't mean ignoring their mistakes. It doesn't mean agreeing with all they did or agreeing with all that you ask that they ask of you. Acceptance does mean, and this is on your outline, realizing that God used them to bring you into the world. That's important. Your parents may have been excellent or mediocre or poor as parents. But regardless of how they treated you growing up, they gave you something nobody else in the world can give you, and that's your life. Regardless of the parenting skills they used, God chose to use them to bring you into the world. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not forget your mother when she is old. Acceptance also means listening to what they have to say. When you're out on your own, you're not bound by their advice, but you don't despise it. You can disagree without being disagreeable. You listen to them. You pay them the courtesy of listening to them. You don't tune them out. That's part of acceptance. Honoring father and mother means speaking well of them to your friends. It means listening to what they say, including their encouragements to maybe not spend time with certain people or their rebukes to stop spending time with certain people. Acceptance also includes forgiveness. The fact is that we often hurt those we love the most. Intentionally or unintentionally, it happens. And if you live together for any length of time with people, you're going to be hurt by them because we're human, because all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." And so families must be built on forgiveness. Relationships must be built on forgiveness. Because that's what Jesus did for us. You know, today it's not so popular to honor your parents as it is to go and lay on a psychologist's couch and tell them about how your parents were the source of all your problems. Proverbs 20, verse 20 says, "If you curse your parents, your life will end like a lamp that goes out in the dark." Bitterness is just self-destructive. I'm guessing that by now you have realized that. You know, it's like what someone said about bitterness. It's like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. It doesn't work out so well. You honor your parents when you forgive them for what they did wrong and choose to focus on what they did right. Deuteronomy 26, verse 11 says, "Be grateful for the good things the Lord has given you and your family." I'm to appreciate them. It's easy to take parents for granted, isn't it? You know, some of you had super parents, and it was easy for you to appreciate them. For some of you, it's a lot more difficult. I would suggest that there are at least a couple things that you can appreciate about your parents regardless of who they are or who they were. First of all, you can appreciate their effort. It's on the outline. Parenting is difficult. It's time demanding. It's energy draining as a job. As a parent of four children, I have a great appreciation of what my parents did for me and for my brother. I miss them. Both my parents have gone to be with the Lord, but I miss them a lot. It takes incredible energy just to corral your kids together, much less teach them anything. I remember the days. Have you ever considered how much easier your parents' lives would have been had they not had you? That's a nervous laughter, maybe. You know, they say they can tell stress in a tree. When you cut the tree down, you look at the different rings in the tree, and certain rings are real small, and those were years of crisis and stress. Well, I think we can say for many of us growing up that we were the cause of some of the crises and stress that our parents experienced, and maybe we were the cause of some of their gray hair as well. When was the last time you thanked your parents for just putting up with you? Who else would have put up with you except your parents? And you can appreciate their sacrifice. You know, parenting is expensive. This is kind of scary looking at, but the economics today alone are rather staggering. In fact, the U.S. Department of Agriculture said that if you're a parent today, today's world, it will cost you approximately $235,000 to raise your child up until they go to college. And if you want to pay for college, you can double that at least. Somebody said a father is somebody who carries pictures where he once carried money. Yeah, I like this. A family was going to church to get their picture taken for the church directory, and the photographer was posing them, and the man said, why don't you put my two sons' hands in both of my pockets? It will look a lot more natural. So, you know, when a couple chooses to have kids, they're choosing to do without some things. And so we should appreciate the sacrifice on some level. What could your parents have afforded if they hadn't had you? Clothes, vacation, school, doctor bills. They have a lot of responsibility. I heard someone say that there are four stages in a man's lifetime. When he's a boy, he believes in Santa Claus. And when he grows up, he stops believing in Santa Claus. When he has children, he becomes Santa Claus. And then when he gets older, he looks like Santa Claus. And so we need to appreciate him at all those stages. So a great transition is when your parents become your friends. I remember being able to relate to my mom and dad as adults. And that's a neat stage to move into. I remember Kathy, my wife, asked my dad one time what stage of life was his favorite. And he said, right now. And he would always say, right now. And so the next thing on your outline, as you mature, we honor our parents by affirming and not abandoning them. Parents sometimes lead lonely lives. And they have this need to know that they made a positive contribution to your life. They need affirmation, and it's your role as children to affirm them as long as they're alive. So how do you do that? You affirm your parents by staying in touch with them at least. Every time you write a letter, every time you make a phone call, every time you write a card, you are obeying this command. I would encourage you to share with them the details of your life. They are interested in the details of your life. The Bible says that we are to value and to treasure our parents. Proverbs 3:27 says, "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act." It's in our power to act. Affirming them also means asking for counsel. Even if you don't follow it, at least you listen to it. I think this involves in-laws as well. We have some good examples in Scripture. Moses listening to his father-in-law. Ruth interacting with her mother-in-law. The Bible says that the way you treat your parents is a demonstration of your true faith, whether or not you're a Christian. Listen to what Paul writes. He says this to Timothy, "Anyone who won't care for his own relatives when they need help, especially his own family, has no right to say that he is a Christian. Such a person is worse than a heathen." That's pretty strong. That's God's word to us. You know, that may mean all kinds of different things. It may mean going and changing the oil in their car when they need it. It may mean inviting them over to your home. It may mean hiring a nurse to take care of them if they get too old to care for themselves. The point is, it's your responsibility as a child to make sure your parents are cared for. Now look at the back of the, there's another insert in the worship folder, the Women's Retreat insert. On the back of that is a whole list of applications because I didn't have enough time to get to everything today in this sermon. So take a look at that maybe sometime today. I hope that you will. When Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, one of the last things he said when he was on the cross, he did not forget to take care of his mom. And he looked at his disciple, John, and he said, "John, take care of my mother." Jesus had a few other things going on when he was on the cross, but he remembered his mother. You know, I do want to say a word to parents, and this is on the outline. If you want to be honored, make yourself honorable. How do you do that? Well, Paul gives us instructions in Ephesians 6, verse 4. And now a word to you parents. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with loving discipline. That's the key. Loving discipline. Paul is saying, don't drive your kids nuts by being someone they can never please. Don't try to make your child into another you. One of you is enough. We need individuals, and so the key to good parenting is loving discipline. So every child has to learn a couple things. Every child has to learn, and this is on the outline, that disobedience brings pain. When we disobey God, there is pain in our life, and everyone needs to learn that. And then we need to learn that obedience brings freedom. The more responsible you are, the more you're trusted, and the more responsibility you're given. And so, as a Christian parent, again, on the outline, your number one goal in your life should be to ensure the fact that your children come to know Jesus. And they come to know Jesus personally. I know all of you well enough that I know that if you have children, you are praying. You pray for your children. And if they don't know the Lord, you pray that they'll come to know the Lord. And you never stop. And if they do come to know the Lord, when they do come to know the Lord, hopefully, you keep praying for them to continue to know the Lord. And you don't stop. And then number three, and that should be a big font, but I missed that. But why should children honor their parents? There are many reasons the Bible gives that children should respect and honor their parents. First of all, it pleases the Lord. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Underline that on your outline. This is a simple command to children that from the heart you need to obey your parents. From your heart. To neglect this just will bring sorrow, either now or later. It will bring sorrow. And then next, it's the right thing to do. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then the reason given in the commandment itself, and this is the next reason the Bible gives us to honor our parents, is that it's in our own best interest. Again, verse 12, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Paul describes this commandment as the first commandment with a promise. And remember that the Israelites had just been brought out of the land of Egypt by God and into the promised land. And one way to ensure that they would keep living in this land is that the children would obey their parents, their fathers and mothers, and honor their fathers and mothers. So the promise, now understand this, is not a guarantee for a long life on this earth physically. It's not a promise that you're going to live to be 100 if you honor your parents. Nor does it mean that if someone dies young, they're guilty of breaking this commandment. So the next reason the Bible gives for honoring our parents is that it's a promise for abundant living. A promise for abundant living. The expression living long in the land, that's a Hebrew phrase for the fullness of God's blessing. That's what it's talking about. The fullness of God's blessing. To have an abundant life. Paul says it like this in Ephesians 6. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. That you can have the abundant life, the full life. You know, this is part of God's plan for passing down the faith. For your parents to teach you about God and to show you the way of salvation. What about your parents who aren't Christians and you are? Will you show them the way of salvation? You be an example to them. You have an adult conversation with them about your faith. Parents, you need to share with your children your faith story. Do your children know how you came to faith? Do they know your faith story? Do your grandchildren know your faith story? They should know your faith story. Likewise, children, your parents and grandparents need to know your faith story, how you came to faith in Christ. For some of you, I know this is a painful message to hear. It's easy to honor a father and mother who are good, godly people, but I know that some of you have parents who have hurt you deeply. Maybe physically, maybe emotionally, maybe they abused you in both ways. Even worse when they say they're godly and abuse you. So how do I honor a parent who has been dishonorable to me? Well, I'll tell you what, it's not healthy to deny the pain or to repress it or to make excuses for your parents. Whatever their issue is, it is scary to face it head on. But it's the only way to get past your pain. The truth is, there are probably a number of you that are still carrying around unfinished business with your parents, even though maybe they've been dead for decades. And maybe just the thought of it can bring tears to your eyes or just a deep hurt. And you're wondering how in the world you can deal with this. You're still reaching, you're still reacting to your parents, and even though they may have been gone for a long time. You know, it's a courageous decision to stop blaming and to start being honest. Maybe you need to plan a conference with your parents where you say something like, "Hey, Mom, Dad, both of you, I want to be free to honor the good that was in your life, but I can't until we talk about the pain that I feel and I felt growing up in your home and come to some kind of resolution about it. I want to get it behind us so that I can get on with my life and forge a new relationship with you and honor you. Yes, it's scary. But you really can't go on with your life until you deal with this. And do it while there's time. I know so many who have wanted to do this, resolved to do this, and put it off, and put it off, and kept putting it off, and then a parent dies, or something happens, and they're not able to communicate to their parent. If you can't talk with your parents, at least find a Christian marriage and family therapist who can help you through dealing with this issue. God knows the pain you feel. God cares. And God wants to help you overcome whatever you're going through in your life, that pain. And what about those who feel abandoned or who have been abandoned by a parent, maybe through divorce or both parents? You know, if you were abandoned by one or both of your parents, God says, He will take special care of you. That's His promise. God says, I will assume responsibility for abandoned children. Someone said to me after the first service that right away when I said that, they thought of five people who have been abandoned by their parent or parents and how God took special care of each of them. Psalm 27:10 says, My father and mother may abandon me, but the Lord will take care of me. And so regardless of your circumstances, you have a heavenly Father. You have a heavenly Father who is perfect and who loves you unconditionally. And He will never, ever forsake you. He will never let you down. He will never let go of you. He'll never release His grasp on you. Never. And He wants you to know Him, and He wants you to know Him through His Son, Jesus. And He loves you more than you will ever realize. And so get to know your heavenly Father. You know, the Bible says that the church is a family. And it's going to last longer than your physical family. In terms of eternity, it's far more important than your physical family. And there will be no physical families in heaven. But there will be the family of God. And if you're part of the family of God, you have a family that you're a part of. And those of us who belong to the family of God, to the church, universal, but this local church as well, will be together forever, and it will outlast your physical family. And the invitation is there to become a part of the family of God. This is the body of Christ on earth, his local expression of that body right here at Claremont Emmanuel. And those of us who belong to the family of God will be together forever. And when you're a part of a local family, what you experience is you experience moms and dads, spiritual moms and dads. You experience brothers and sisters in Christ, aunts and uncles who will be there to encourage you. You can be a part of a family that will never break up because it's going to be together for all eternity. You can find security and stability and care and comfort in the body of Christ. You don't have to go through a secretary or make an appointment to talk to your Heavenly Father. You can connect with Him directly. We have access to Him, and we will forever. I love the quote that you've got on the outline from J.I. Packer. He says this, "There is a tremendous relief in knowing that God's love to me is utterly realistic, based at every point on prior knowledge of the worst about me, so that no discovery now can disillusion him about me in the way that I so often am disillusioned about myself and quench his determination to bless me." And so it's a good thing to ask yourself, am I keeping the fifth commandment? Does your relationship with your father and mother bring glory to God, even if they're not around anymore? Maybe you know the name Patty Davis. She was Ronald Reagan's daughter from his marriage with Nancy. And they had a lot of disagreements. And she had a lot of regrets for how she chose a politically militant approach instead of a more tender relationship with her father. And she frequently told the media it wasn't personal when she contradicted him at almost every turn. But she realizes today that her actions spoke louder than her words. And so she wrote in an article this after her father had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. "I would look into my father's eyes and try to reach past the murkiness of Alzheimer's with my words, my apology, hoping that in his heart he understood me and heard me." And then she concludes her article by saying this, "I wish that now, all these years ago, I had led with kindness." I'd led with kindness, not with ideological stridency. We are, after all, remembered in the end for how we treat others. Sometimes the political has to be tempered by the personal. So let me ask you, do you have the marks in your life of being a child of God in the way that you fulfill this commandment? Do you sense God's unconditional love for you through Jesus? Do you find that you're constantly needing to prove yourself and get approval from others and defend yourself? Or do you sense a relaxation of the Holy Spirit and are able to say, you know, the real verdict is in, and the final verdict is that my Heavenly Father loves me. And He loves me unconditionally. The only way that's possible is through Jesus, because in Jesus, He's the one that told us in John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right, the privilege, the power to be the children of God." That's the invitation. And you need to be able to go to your parents and you need to say, you know, once when I was little, you were like God to me. But now, I know that the Father in heaven is God to me now. And I am free to honor you as I ought. And so you take them seriously, you forgive them, but most of all, you grow up. How do you grow up? You have to have God as your Heavenly Father. That's how you grow up. And one of the ways you honor your parent is to point out things that you've learned from them. point out the good things in your life that you attribute to them. And maybe it's saying, you know, one of the things that I always learn from you, and I still do it, and I think I'll always do it, is fill in the blank. That's all it can take. That honors their need to see themselves in you. You know, you're in God's image, but you're also in the image of your parents. You're going to not agree with your parents on everything, but choose to love them. Think about that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that it's possible for us to know what a family is and to see what you've called families to be in your word. Really, with the gospel, it makes it so much easier to be great parents. And with the gospel, it makes it easy to honor our parents. Help us, Lord, I pray, to see the wonder and the glory of the gospel and the truth that we are in your family. And that is the way for us to experience all that you have for our family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Will you stand with us as we close? How do we want to respond to God's word this morning? Whether it be easy or difficult, I trust it's with